Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. Or head on over to the website, AmericaOutLoud.com, and check out the articles and podcasts. And please share those on social media. We always appreciate that when you share it on social media, because America Out Loud is facing the same social media censorship that so many others are. So when you share that article or podcast on social media, it helps us out a great deal, and we always appreciate that. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. We've got some elections that have taken place this week, but I want to start off talking about Joe Biden and his divisive trip to Buffalo. I mean, what was that? This guy gets out of the plane in Buffalo, immediately goes up to the podium and starts his race baiting. I mean, it got so bad, and he's grasping for straws so much to try and make white supremacy sound like this huge problem. He had to bring up Charlottesville once again. I mean, how many years ago was Charlottesville at this point? Like 6 years ago? The left is still bringing that up constantly, like it's a relevant thing happening in today's society, when it was almost a decade ago at this point. I mean, Joe Biden is just completely grasping at straws, trying to stir up the Democrat base and make them think that all these white Republicans are racist who hate black people. I mean, if you're not cutting around the corners, that is what he is essentially saying. And it could not be more wrong. Joe Biden claimed he was going to be the president to bring all Americans together. What a joke. He's been the most divisive president I believe we have ever had in our country. Rob, what are your thoughts on Joe Biden and his trip to Buffalo?
Andrew, man's inhumanity to man causes many to suffer. Such was the case in the cities of Buffalo, New York, Laguna Beach, California, Waukesha, Wisconsin, and New York City, where mad men attack the local residents in the community. While the whole nation is mourning and praying for those who were harmed, Joe Biden only saw it fit to personally visit and mourn and pray with the residents of Buffalo. I wonder why is that? And not only that, Andrew, the media only sees it fit to mention the black people who were killed in Buffalo. They say nothing about the two white people that were killed. Their lives mattered. Their lives mattered just like the black people who were killed. But for the left, it didn't matter. Just like the lives and the folks in Laguna Beach. Apparently their lives didn't matter because Joe's not going to go there. Now I'm hearing that there was only one person who was killed, and I think there were the others were just injured. But it was a Taiwanese church. And who did the shooting? A Chinese radical. Mad at the Taiwanese. Mad because Taiwan does not want China to take over the country. So he's mad, so he's going to take out his frustration and his anger on a Taiwanese church. Let's look back to New York City in April. A black man, Frank James, had been radicalized by the left, being fed a steady diet that white people had wronged black people. White supremacists are out to get you. You better be careful. Now, this guy, Frank James, he's this dude was like really, you know, one in a million, because he even spoke out against Ketanji Brown Jackson, who happens to be the hero right now for the left. He called her out because he says she's married to a white Jewish man. And he said a lot of other radical things against people. So one day, one morning, he decides to get on the subway. Hey, I'm going to shoot up some people. But for the grace of God, his little plan was foiled. Now, he shot people, and people were injured. But his plan was foiled because of a canister that he had that went off and created a lot of smoke. So people didn't die that day, but they were injured. Majority of them black. I think maybe one or two whites. But Joe didn't find it necessary to come to New York to speak out against that domestic terrorist. Let's go back to December. McCausee, Wisconsin. During a Christmas parade, another Black supremacist decided to go and attack a peaceful parade. Everyone was having a good time. He decides to get in his car and drive down a crowded street where people, revelers, were watching the parade. I think about 6 white people were killed, including a child. Darryl Brooks was the culprit, a Black man. Now, in the case of Darryl Brooks and Mr. James, Frank James, it took all about, I think, 2 days or so before they actually identified that these were Black men. And it still took some time for them to call it domestic terrorism. They never once said it was Black supremacy. They never once said it was a hate crime. I don't think to this day they've said it was a hate crime. Did Joe Biden go to Wisconsin? Absolutely not. Did the media even talk about those that were dead? Absolutely not. They talked about it all of, like, say, a week, if that, and they moved on. But fast forward to Buffalo, New York, whereby Black people and white people were killed, and the only names we hear are the Black people. The only people that Joe wants to pray for are the Black people or pray with. So he hastily said, I've got to go to Buffalo, New York, clear my schedule. Not that his schedule was filled up with anything, Andrew. But he had to hastily go to Buffalo, New York, because he's got to speak out against white supremacy. Where is the white supremacy? Well, Alejandro Mayorkas, Homeland Security Secretary, testified before Congress the other day, and he said that that's one of the biggest threats. Even Christopher Wray said it's one of the biggest threats, white supremacy. But here's the kicker, Andrew. If it's white supremacy, why haven't they gone and arrested these people? And why can't they tell us how many of white supremacy groups are out there? Let me just play a tape for you. This is what took place in Congress. Roll the tape.
Is still your assessment that white supremacist extremists are the most lethal threat we face in the homeland today?
Mr. Chairman, I do believe that the intelligence reflects the fact that indeed that is the case.
How many cases involving white supremacists and domestic terrorists have you referred to DOJ for prosecution?
Congressman, let me...
Do you not have the number? It's a simple number.
You've made some profoundly inaccurate statements.
No.
That I would like the opportunity to correct. Congressman, I will provide you with that information.
So you don't know?
Subsequent to this hearing, I do not have.
So you can't name one case yet. According to a new report from the U.S. Department of Justice, almost half of all the criminals prosecuted in federal courts in 2018 were aliens, charged with crimes ranging from drug trafficking to murder and to kidnapping.
There you have Senator Leahy saying, oh yeah, white supremacy, and we've got to go after them. And then you have the other congressman asking Mayorkas, can you tell us how many white supremacists are out there that are doing all this bad stuff, domestic violence, not domestic violence, but domestic terrorism? He couldn't even give a number. But yet and still, they're telling people that they're white supremacists that are out there. And they're not just telling people, Andrew. They're telling it to Black people. They're signaling this to Black people and to these woke white liberals, that they're white supremacists that are out there. They could not wait to identify the perpetrator of the Buffalo shooting Sunday, Peyton Gendron. Oh, and he's been radicalized, and he's this, and he's doing all these bad things, and you better watch out because he's going to come after you. So you have Black people crying, and they're putting their heads down. Oh, they're coming after us. Oh, they're going to get us. Oh, they're going to kill us. Well, look at Chicago this weekend. Black people were being killed there, killed by other Black people. New York City, Detroit, Black people killing other Black people. Why aren't you crying? Why aren't you afraid? There have been, Andrew, 198 mass shootings, according to Gun Violence Archive. 198 mass shootings this year. Well, some would say, I don't remember hearing about that. Well, the way they identify is that when I think it's four or more people have been shot, they call it a mass shooting. How many of those mass shootings did Joe Biden personally go and grieve with the family? Well, not a whole lot, because they weren't all Black killed by whites. But when it was Black killed by Blacks, oh, don't see it. We don't want to see it. Pay no attention to it. But if you want to run a story that a white cop arrested a Black man, the Black man got beat up or he was harmed or killed, Joe Biden's going to roll them out there with the big teleprompter, give your speech to scare Black people. The hate that these folks have for other people in the country. Hate. And if we look at this guy, Gendry. Now, some said that he wrote a manifesto. I'm not going to call it a manifesto. I'm just going to say that he wrote the writings of a madman.
It was almost a book. It was like 250 pages, I heard.
250 pages? Oh, my God. I better start working on my book. Because, I mean, he's getting all this attention. But, Andrew, here's a kicker. And I think I sent you an article about this. This guy said that he wasn't a liberal. He wasn't a conservative. That he might be a socialist and he might be a communist. And you know what? One of his best friends happened to be a Hispanic. And the Hispanic guy was dating a Black woman. Oh, but he's a white supremacist. Well, because he did say that he wanted to kill Black people. I get it. Okay. And I think on his gun, he had one of the victims' names from Wakasa, Wisconsin. And I'm probably mispronouncing that name. Wakasha, Wisconsin.
Waukesha.
Waukesha sounds like someone's name. Waukesha, come here, Waukesha. Waukesha, doesn't that sound like someone's name to you, Andrew?
It does.
Sounds like a name. Huh, go figure. It might be a German, like Waukesha. Interesting. Well, anyway, Daryl Brooks was a culprit in Waukesha. Now, going back to this Peyton Gendry, who was all of 18 years old, definitely radicalized, definitely an idiot. We don't have the death penalty in New York, so he'll probably, you know, live in a life of luxury in someone's prison. But the media is going to vilify him. They're going to say that he's a bad guy. They're going to say, oh, why supremacy? He's out. They're out to get us again. Oh, my God. But as I said before, Andrew, on our show, if you fed a steady diet of they versus them, white people are bad people, nonstop, and this all took place. He was radicalized during the COVID shutdown. Now, some of them are saying, I think Chuck Schumer said, oh, this was during when Trump was in office. Trump was in office during those years. Trump was in office. That's when he became radicalized. No, he did not. We didn't have situations like that during Trump. We had situations like that during Barack Obama and Joe Biden. We had Trayvon Martin. We had Michael Brown. We had Tamir Rice. We had Sandra Bland. Barack Obama, not once did he come out and say, the police did their jobs. They had an investigation. The FBI came out, looked at it. And what did the FBI say? They did their jobs. Now, I know that some of these people got these huge payouts. I don't know why. That is a reason why we have to be careful with when we vote, because we need to put people in office who will say, close the purse. We're not going to be giving these people money because they were acting out. No way. It's not going to happen. I still say George Floyd should not have died. What happened to him is most unfortunate. Very unfortunate. Someone should have told George, you're not above the law. And when you're stopped by the police, you need to stop and listen. They probably also should have told him, Joe, lay off the illegal substances, because that's not going to help you at all.
Right.
I mean, let's just be honest here. But what happened, happened. Derek Chauvin, you just messed everything up. I mean, a bit aggressive. I mean, I know they say we was doing his job, but all you had to do is lift your knee up, dude. But you know what, Andrew? That knee that they're talking about is on the knee of Black people by the Democrat Party. And that is the reason why the Democrat Party will not tell Black boys and men and women that when you're stopped by the police, listen, don't try to fight the police. Now, someone even made a comment on social media, Andrew, that Peyton Gendry, they said, look, and he got away with his life. They didn't shoot him. They didn't kill him. And look at George Floyd. They killed him. Look at Michael Brown. They killed him. Well, if memory serves me correctly, Andrew, I think they told Michael Brown to stop. Michael Brown tried, he was beating the living heck out of a police officer. Dante Wright, they told him to stop. Let's just be honest here. George Floyd, he could have stopped. All of this could have been avoided had these men stopped, but they chose not to stop. They played a gamble with their lives. Now, with this Peyton Gendron, people, why didn't they kill him? Well, if you read the story, you'll read that he was going to kill himself, and the police talked him out of it. You look at the case at the African-American church in, I think it's called the African Methodist Episcopal Church in South Carolina. The young man there who killed the black parishioners. When the police told him to stop, he stopped, he dropped his gun. Now, I'm sure had he decided to bulk up against the police and tried to shoot the police, they would have killed him. That's the big difference. So all you people who are posting on social media, well, they didn't kill him. Well, because when they told Peyton to stop, Peyton stopped. There's no argument there. Plain and simple. He was told to stop, he stopped. You tell a black man to stop, he said, oh, no, I'm going to fight the police. Okay, you fight, you lose. But is the hate coming from this White House that make black people think that they're after you, they're doing you wrong, as opposed to looking at this complete story, understanding the story, understanding what's happening? Peyton Gendron was one white boy compared to all of the white black boys and black men that are being killed in Chicago. Babies that are being killed in Atlanta. Remember Keisha Bottoms came out and said, you guys killed a baby. Look at DC and all these places. Who's at the top of government? Democrats, Democrat mayors. You guys better vote carefully, because if you don't, it will keep happening, Andrew.
Yeah, it will. And you need to vote Republican for every election that takes place throughout the year. And hopefully we can right the wrong that took place in 2020. Obviously, some shenanigans took place, but hopefully in 2022, here we can vote in such numbers that it can overcome any of those shenanigans that the Democrats might have up their sleeve. We're all getting older, but it's never too late to worry about your health. In fact, if you go to healthycell.com and check out all the great reviews, you will be satisfied. Check out the review from Cheryl, who said, I switched to Healthy Cell products at the suggestion of my nutritionist and couldn't be happier. Rodney said, this is honestly the best tasting liquid gel multivitamin I have taken. Try it, and I believe you, you will be pleasantly surprised. I actually look forward to taking it each day. Tiffany said, I'm not a pill popper, so I greatly love these gel-based vitamins. The taste is amazing by itself, or you can add it into your smoothies. I'm so happy I found out about these when I did. Head over to healthycell.com, and when you go to check out, you can save yourself 20% off with the code OUTLOUD. We'll be back with more After Dark with Robin Andrew.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years. Brush, floss, repeat. We're told to use fluoride, which doesn't really address the acid-creating bacteria. That is where the dentist-recommended Spry Dental Defense System shines. Spry products contain xylitol, a natural sugar which helps get rid of those nasty, smelly, acid-creating bacteria in our mouth. The best way to care for your teeth and gums is by using Spry. The Spry Dental Defense System has a wide variety of products, toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and chewing gums that are designed to work together to keep your teeth clean and mouth healthy and smelling sweet all day long. To get your oral care back on track in an easy, effective, and very tasty way, switch to Spry today. Ask your dentist about xylitol and the Spry products. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural product retailers.
Now the spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. Now we invite you, friends, to invest some of your time with our magnificent family of experts, their minds and voices. It's all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You know, Rob, we had some big elections this past week over in Pennsylvania, some primaries in North Carolina, and a lot of interesting things have come out of these elections thus far. First thing I want to comment on is Madison Cawthorn losing his House seat in North Carolina. The 26-year-old came onto the scene and made a lot of noise. He was all over the news, speaking about just about anything. Personally, sometimes I would cringe at some of the things he said, and he would take things a little too far to be smart politically. But overall, he was an America First candidate. He grew up, basically you could say he grew up supporting President Trump. I mean, the guy's only 26 years old. He was only, 21 when President Trump became president. So I think he was actually a great member for the future of the Republican Party. We've got so many old men here who are part of the swamp. It really worries me that in November, we'll take back the House and we'll take back the Senate. And just like we saw after the presidential election, these weak Republicans will do absolutely nothing. This is what I'm saying for years now. It's not just about electing Republicans, it's about electing the right Republicans. And I hope that's what we see from North Carolina, this guy that beat Madison Cawthorn. I don't have his name right in front of me at the moment, but he has been in office before. Hopefully he's not a swamper, because that's what we really have to watch out for in the Republican Party. And I've got doubts about this McCormick guy in Pennsylvania as well. I was obviously rooting between Dr. Oz and Kathy Barnett, who we had on the show last year. I would have been happy to see either one of them win, but it's looking like things might be leaning towards McCormick, which is some more disappointing news for me. I think I'm worried that come November, we're going to end up with a lot of these old GOP representatives that have been part of the swamp for decades. And we see the same thing on the Democrat side of the aisle. So it's not just exclusive to the GOP that is facing this problem. But man, Rob, I don't know. I just hope voters keep voting for this America First agenda, because you look at what Joe Biden has done and the weak Republicans who are there now who haven't really stopped Joe Biden from doing anything. We need some new blood. And I'm a little concerned with Madison Cawthorn losing, and I hope it's not the start of more of this to come.
Andrew, you're right. I mean, I don't know where. Well, here's the thing. This election year is for the Republicans to lose, if they choose to lose it. They can win it if they choose to win it. They have the wind at their back, and everything that's happening in the country right now with inflation, gas prices, baby formula shortage, a radical agenda from the left with abortion, sex education in our schools. It just, nothing is going right for this administration. Nothing is going right in our society, in our culture. So I hope that the candidates that are chosen are strong enough to win in November, because God knows we need a win. As I've said before, the left, they've won the cultural war, the battle. They've won the battle. They haven't won the war, but they've won the battle. And we need to win the war. Because if we don't, our country is doomed to fail, unfortunately, with everything that's going on. So hopefully, you know, the candidates that are out there, they will be able to take this thing home. I mean, and Trump so far, he's endorsed quite a few candidates, and most of the candidates that he's endorsed, they have, they've won. They've won those elections. Now, of course, you know, there are a lot of rhinos that are going betting against Trump, that are going against him, don't want his candidates to win for obvious purposes, because they feel that if his candidates don't win, they can pull the party away from Trump. But here's the thing, if you pull it from Trump, what do you have? What do you guys have? You have absolutely nothing, because you've lost a majority of those voters. They're telling you now, we're sick and tired of the way the party was going. We're sick and tired of rolling over. We're sick and tired of the same old, same old. We're sick and tired of you guys not fighting for us. What Trump started was grassroots. And what we've got to remember here, Andrew, is these people who keep asking for or saying, we need someone who's more polished, we need a politician who's going to, you know, represent us and speak eloquently. Folks, you got to get beyond that. Because when you look back at our history, you look at the candidates who were running in the presidents, they weren't polished. They weren't, you know, these little eloquent figures that we see now, these little Ken Barbie dolls. We have got to pull away from that. We don't need that. That's what has gotten us into trouble. These paper doll figure presidents that don't do absolutely anything but talk. I heard the other day, Elon Musk even said that, you know, despite Trump and his, you know, his personality, he and his administration got a lot done compared to this current administration. I mean, Joe's at the top. He's senile. He has dementia. Then he has people below him that are just there to meet quotas. I don't like quotas. That's all they're there for, to meet quotas. Whether or not they can do the job is anyone's guess. Maybe they can, but they're not acting like it. And they're not only acting, actionable items, they're not doing it. You look at all of his cabinet members, Pete Buttigieg. He's just there because he's a gay man. What are the reasons why they have him there? Let's just be honest. Then you look at the other cabinet members who are women. Look at the Secretary of Energy. She was a former governor, and she's constantly laughing. Whereas we have an energy crisis, gas prices. You look at Kamala Harris. She's supposed to be the vice president or president or whatever. And she's not good. Who's writing her speeches for her, by the way? She gave a speech the other day talking about working together, and she used the word together, I think, about 10 times in a minute. So these are the people that he has on his staff. So if Republicans can't beat this guy, I mean, it says a whole lot about us. We have got to stop fighting.
You're right.
And we've got to pull ourselves together.
You're right. And some of these Republican politicians who have no chance of winning and screw things up really need to step aside. And I want to call out a Republican right now. Her name is Heidi St. John. She's a Republican challenger in Joe Kent and Jamie Herrera Butler's district. And she once claimed that if she did not get President Trump's endorsement, she would step aside and support whoever President Trump endorsed. Well, President Trump endorsed Joe Kent, who we've had on our show several times. And Heidi St. John says she disagrees with President Trump's endorsement and now is running attack ads against Joe Kent. This lady, Heidi St. John, claims that she's a Trump supporter and an America First Republican, but here she is running for office in the primary against Joe Kent and Herrera Butler, where there's a good chance she's going to split the vote and take votes away from Joe Kent, and we might end up getting stuck with Jamie Herrera Butler again. That is a disgrace, and that cannot happen. Heidi St. John, you need to step down, and you need to step down right now, because things like this are ridiculous. President Trump endorsed Joe Kent. Joe Kent is a great America First candidate. Heidi St. John, you will not win Regardless, the only thing you're going to do is perhaps put in the rhino Jaime Herrera Butler for another term, which would be an absolute disaster. Sorry about that, Rob.
Well, you look at what even Kevin McCarthy, he's not endorsing Joe Kent. I think he's endorsed Heidi, or he's done fundraisers for her. I don't know what these guys are thinking. They're not listening to the constituents. They're not listening to what we're saying. We're saying we're tired of that party of yesteryear. We want to move on. We want to move beyond that.
And it's just so infuriating in a district like this, where you have Jaime Herrera Butler, who voted to impeach President Trump. The Republicans can't get their act together and just send out one strong candidate. Instead, they've got two candidates who claim that they're America First candidates. We know Joe Kent is, because we've had him on the show. We've listened to what he's had to say. But there's a good chance that both of these candidates are going to draw votes from the Trump supporters. And Jaime Herrera Butler, you know, she'll get votes from the establishment rhinos like she probably did the first time she ran. It's just things like this cannot happen, where you set up a path where Herrera Butler might be able to get back into office. I mean, what's next? Is Liz Cheney going to make it through? I mean, this is a disaster.
Well, Liz Cheney, I wouldn't at all be surprised if she makes it through, because I think that you have some Republicans who are planning on giving fundraisers for her, Adam Kinzinger, he'll probably go to, and vote for her or stump for her to get people to vote for in Utah. But is she in Utah or Wyoming?
Wyoming.
So he'll probably go there and he'll probably, stump for her and say, oh, vote for her. And like I said, we could win this, but we have got to come together. We can't be so divided. I know that during elections, primaries, you might find yourself going up against another Republican, but we can't be so harsh in our criticism. I look at the race between Dr. Oz and McCormick and Barnett. I mean, toward the end, it got really testy and nasty, and I'm thinking, come on. Because when it's all said and done, then we're supposed to like shake hands and say, okay, now we're going to go out and beat the Democrats. I mean, this Fetterman guy who's in the hospital, I might add, but he won his vote. He won his election primary over the other candidates. And the other candidates weren't that strong. I think they had one guy, Kenyatta, the black guy, and he was running on the fact that he's gay. And then when he gets saying he's going to do all this weird stuff, I'm like, ah, we don't need him. But
yeah,
we've just got to do a better job, I think. We don't need brutal primaries.
We don't. And even though President Trump endorsed Dr. Oz, I still have my questions on him. Obviously, he would be better than getting a Democrat in that Senate seat. But just last week, I read an article where he was calling for Kathy Barnett to step down from the race because of her previous comments on Islam. I mean, this just sounds like him trying to take the path of cancel culture, which I'm completely against. He just needs to get over it and get over himself a little bit. And I think he might be fine, but I'm not completely sold on Dr. Oz. I'm definitely not sold on McCormick. I'm seeing Mike Pompeo out stumping for him instead of Dr. Oz certainly doesn't help his cause any. But Rob, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that, I mean, like you said, we've had Kathy on the show. We didn't reach out to Dr. Oz because he entered the race rather late. And I thought, when we first had her on, that she was a candidate and there was no one else. So I'm thinking, she would probably win this. But I understand the arguments on both sides, that some were saying that Kathy was evasive. She wasn't clear as to some of the things she was saying, what her positions were. They said that she had affiliated with QAnon, and I'm thinking, what's the big deal with that? I'm at the Proud Boys. Why is all this like the Proud Boys? They're bad. They're this. They're that. They're white supremacists. No, the Proud Boys, the leader of the Proud Boys, is a guy who's black Puerto Rican. So how can they be white supremacists?
Yeah. In fairness to people saying that about Kathy, we had her on the show as well, and I kind of had the same take that she's kind of distant to where. She's real careful with how she answers questions and whatnot. And it's hard to get a real firm grasp of her, for me at least.
Right. And we both said that. But, in the end, we said, hey, but she'll be the candidate. She'll be a strong candidate. And she does have a compelling background, considering that her mom was raped when she was 11 and still chose to have Kathy. So in that aspect, especially with the abortion, you know, it really propelled her in the race, in the primaries. So, but the constant attacks, I thought, even Sean Hannity, I mean, she had been on his show, and he was saying that, oh no, you know, she had attacked him. She said this about the president. And here's my position on that. All these candidates, when they started out, a lot of them did not like Trump, but then they came around. Dr. Oz was even he's always been a Republican, but some of his views were more moderate than most conservatives. But he came around and said, hey, this is where I need to go. Now, I liked him because of his background. He was a doctor. And I felt that he would be able to go in and really just challenge this Dr. Fraud. But it wasn't to be, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. He's in a very tight race. He's not going to concede. I'm hearing that they're going to have a recall. Now, McCormick, he seems kind of sleazy to me. He seems sleazy. If he wins, you know, we have to support him, but he seems rather sleazy. And I'm like, I don't know about this guy. But and we had said before, you know, during our talking to each other about, you know, electability, that's a huge factor. And I don't think many people think of that when they're voting. Does this person have the electability quality? Will they be able to go the distance? They look good in the primary. And some people would say, oh, well, we can dress them up and we can make them look good. Yeah, but you know, the Democrats, again, a different ballgame, because this guy Fetterman, I can't believe he won. But I mean, the people that he was running against, I could see it. But he's way out there. His whole thing is, his main thing is to make certain that they can legalize marijuana. That if that is, yes, if that's your entire platform, we got a problem. So if that is his platform, and whoever wins this Republican primary, if they can't beat him, man, we've got problems.
Yeah, we have problems. And I have a feeling we're going to be under this situation a lot this year, where we have to root for or support candidates we don't particularly like. I mean, you look at a state like Georgia. I mean, no Republicans around the country are fans of Brian Kemp. But if he ends up running against Stacey Abrams, you better hope that Brian Kemp wins, especially if you're a resident in Georgia. There's other races across the country as well where we're going to see the same thing, where we've got some of these bad Republican candidates, but they're running against Democrats. So what can you do? You just got to hold your breath and vote for the bad Republican in some cases. Let's hope that we get it right in primaries, because now's the time to get the candidates that we want and the candidates that we need, instead of just candidates that we'll have to settle for. You're tuned into After Dark with Robin Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Robin Andrew.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
If you're like me, you'd like life to return to some kind of normal. You're burned out on the precautions, but deep down you still want to avoid getting sick. You've heard it talked about time and again by respected medical professionals. Use a povidone iodine antiviral nasal spray. Made in the USA, Cofix RX reduces viral loads and minimizes the risk of you getting sick. Find a retailer near you or click our banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
So, Andrew, just going back to what you were saying on the election, I think that, I mean, either one of the candidates, McCormick, Oz, or Barnett, had either one won, they would have been, I think, a strong candidate. We would have had to work with them to prepare them for the general election. The way it is right now, it seems as if though Oz and McCormick are going to go into a recount. So they're going to count the votes all over again because it's extremely tight. I think McCormick is at 31.2 and Oz is at 31.1% of the vote. So it's like, man, what's going to happen here? But I think that Republicans, as you said, we've got to pull together and we've got to be able to pull this off considering everything that's going on. And what I would say to Kathy, and we're going to try to bring her back on the show, is that she's in a really good position to be a power broker. And I know that she had said, or someone said, she said that she wouldn't support either of the candidates, Oz or McCormick, if she didn't win. And I mean, I'm hoping that she didn't say that because she could be a power broker in the party. No one likes to lose. She fought valiantly. In my opinion, she had a, you know, she was a very impressive candidate. So if I were her, I would rethink that. If she, in fact, she said it and come out and be a power broker. And whoever is a nominee, be it McCormick or Oz, she supports them to the very end, helps them get elected, and then go for some other big position within the Republican Party. What do you say, Andrew?
Yeah, that would be a good idea. I don't think she would do herself any favors by going after whoever the Republican candidate is, particularly when you look at what's going on in Washington, D.C., and all the problems that people are having across this country, and Pennsylvania in particular. And people have long memories. So if she's out not supporting the Republican candidate that is going up against a Democrat, and at the same time, they're paying $5 a gallon, they're going to be like, what is her deal? Why is she working against us? So I think she needs to sit back, take her breath for a minute, and come out and endorse whoever ends up winning for the Republican side of things. And I think she's got a great future in Pennsylvania and maybe even in Washington, D.C.
Definitely a great future. And she, like you said, she's got to stop, rethink, take a deep breath, and then come back out and say, hey, I'm going to support the candidate, whoever the candidate is. And then just support them, plain and simple. Because if you don't, like you said, it's just going to be a complete disaster for the party. We don't need people coming out with mixed messages and trying to sabotage people. And like I said, it's in the second half of the show, it's very difficult. I can only imagine being in a campaign and a race, and you're doing your best, and then you come up short, and all of the darts that are thrown at you, and when it's all said and done, you got to say, okay, let's put all this beside us, and let's bring the party together. And I say that for any election, even during the general election or the primary election for the president. I'm like, how the heck are they going to get these guys to work together when they're throwing all this mud and trying to draw blood on the other candidate? It would be my opinion that the parties decide, hey, we want this candidate to run and no one else is going to run. I mean, you look at the presidential race come 2024. I don't care what the Democrats do, but I would hope that the Republicans get together. Now, this would show party unity, I think, Andrew. If the candidates were to decide, okay, we really want to win this thing, and the only way we can win it resoundingly and not have any drama is that we decide right now who the candidate is going to be amongst ourselves. Now, I'm sure the rhinos, they'll say, well, we'll have that conversation, but then they'll be the first one running to the media as an anonymous source. Oh, they told us we had to support this person. We can't do this and we can't do that. It's like, what are you doing? Please, come on. But I would think that the party would say, okay, who is the strongest candidate? We don't want to damage this candidate with mudslinging. We don't want to damage the candidate by spending a lot of money on these endless races and a lot of money on opposition research. We don't want to do it. So let's just decide who we want to run, be it Trump or DeSantis, and let that person run.
Right. Unfortunately, I think Mike Pence has his sights on running through hell or high water. He's going to be
really
president of the United States. Yeah, just because he's already been out speaking all over the country, and it just sounds like that's where he's positioning himself to do. And he's already been a governor. He's already...
He was a governor?
No, actually, he was a senator. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, senator. Okay.
I guess he could still be governor, but he could either be governor, I guess, or president. That's the only really way up. But even a governor, I think, is a step down from vice president. So I just don't.
Well, from secretary of state. But I don't know, Andrew. I mean, I don't want him to run.
Right. Well, maybe if Trump promised him a position in the cabinet, but I don't know if Trump would do that.
And, you know, he and Trump, he hasn't said anything negative of Trump. Trump hasn't spoke ill of him.
He hasn't. And when he does interviews, he actually usually ends up defending Trump quite a bit. But it's the whole January 6th fiasco. Obviously, President Trump and millions of Americans were disappointed in him. And it'll be hard for him to ever live that down. But I don't know. I just think the guy will run for president.
Well,
I don't think he'll do very well, but. He's going to give it a shot.
Do you think Trump should run?
Yeah, that's hard to say because I would love to vote for him again, and I'd love nothing more to see President Trump in office again. But you look at what the Democrats have already done to him once. As I've said before, part of me wonders maybe Governor DeSantis would be a good candidate to run for president, and I'd be satisfied with DeSantis. It's down to DeSantis and Trump for sure. I'd be happy to vote for President Trump, but he is a little bit more divisive to some people. Some people don't like the mean things he says on Twitter and stuff like that. So maybe DeSantis with Trump's backing would be even more electable.
See, I want Trump to run because I think what happened during the last election was unfair.
Right, but we don't want to see it happen again.
We don't want to see it happen again, but I don't, even if DeSantis were to run, I think that the Democrats, if he were to run, I think the Democrats would still do the same thing because these guys, they have hate in their heart. And as I said, the hate that they see when they see Republicans, the way they're trying to frame Republicans as being white supremacists, that what happened in Buffalo is because of Republicans. Every time they open their mouths, Republicans are bad. It's not just they're bad, it's that they're evil and they're white supremacists, and we have got to get rid of them completely. Republicans don't view the Democrats that way. We just say, hey, a difference of ideology, and that's it. But when you look at every election, the past election, the Democrats have come out strong against Republican candidates. Each time we have had a Republican in the House, Ronald Reagan, the two Bushes, and they didn't try to hide it. I mean, they went after them tooth and nail. Whereas you look at Bill Clinton got himself in the whole pickle with Monica Lewinsky. So he brought that on himself. I do feel that at times Republicans were like really working hard to get rid of him. But then he gave them so much stuff that it's like, dude, come on, keep your willy in its pants. Jeez. And stop lying about it. So he did that himself, and I think that's the reason why Hillary Clinton was so mad at him. But then when you look at George Bush, the younger Bush, they wanted Al Gore. They said, oh, Al Gore won. And at that point, I was saying the same thing. Oh, Al Gore won. But I'm like, thank God he didn't get the presidency because it would have been a complete disaster. But Bush was just even Steven. And I guess because he was a teetotaler, he would go out, do his job, and then he was home in bed asleep. So he didn't have time to be controversial. Now, he messed up with Iraq. That was because of the big swampers, rhinos, that wanted him to go in because they were just looking at the oil and they deceived the American public. And of course, Trump saw through it. But each time, the Democrats did not like the person, the Republican, being in office, and they attacked them viciously. I think the difference with Trump is that Trump decided to fight with them. And when you look at some of the tapes that the media was going backwards and forward with him, you could see it was so obvious. And the thing, Andrew, that's scary to me, for me, is that if we don't have a true accuracy reporting of history, this stuff will never be exposed. You look at today, John Durham, they're having the trial of Michael Sussman. All the information that's coming out on that trial, to me, the guy is guilty. I mean, we don't even need to have a trial. What he did was wrong. He clearly lied so that they could have an October surprise to knock Trump out of the running, because they knew that Hillary was not a strong candidate. So this guy, Michael Sussman, a Perkins Coie law firm, Hillary's attorney, decided to go into the FBI and present information that was completely made up. And who was the FBI guy? James Baker. Where is James Baker now? He's an attorney at Twitter. Look at how all these people are 6 degrees of separation, all connected out there. It's extremely dangerous. So now we're learning that with this Michael Sussman trial, that the judge has allowed, I think, three individuals who are devout Trump haters and Hillary Clinton donors as jurors. Like, are you serious? When you go through voir dire, you can decide, do we want this person or do we not want them? But the judge decided to seat them. I've been on jury duty before. And they could look at you and say, I don't want Rob on the trial as a juror. They probably don't want me there because I'm black. But they'll never say it. But they can say, get him off. And then I'm summarily dismissed. But these individuals, and they told the judge, I'm a Hillary Clinton supporter. I went to school with Bill Clinton, and I don't like Donald Trump. I have a visceral hate for him. So how in the heck? And then to us in liberal DC, do we actually think that this would be a fair trial? So when you look at all that, and the point that I'm trying to make is that if we can't get a verdict there, do you actually think that whoever the Republicans run as a president, that they're going to give them a fair shake and that it will be an honest election? They're already looking at trying to shut us down again. In New York City, they're saying that the COVID numbers are high. They're high again. Oh my God, they're high. Got to shut down. Got to put the mask back on. And Andrew, I think I sent this article to you. Would you believe that with two vaccines that are out there and two boosters, and now they're trying to, Pfizer is trying to get approved a booster for kids as early, as young as five, a booster. But this is the point I wanted to make. Two vaccines and boosters, two boosters. More people have died with COVID and the booster than people who have not, and the vaccine and the booster, than people who have not taken the vaccine or the booster. Can you believe that, those numbers? That more people have died having had the shot and the booster. And we were told, Andrew, by Joe Biden, that if you get the vaccine, hey, you're invincible. Can you believe that? This man lied.
Yeah, it seems like he's a pathological liar, and that's about all he does. And yeah, the vaccine has been a complete fail. But I want to shift courses real quick and talk about one more thing before we sign off for the night. Brittany Griner was arrested on February 17th in Russia, the WNBA star. She's been in prison now for over 3 months in Russia, and it doesn't seem to like Joe Biden is making any progress in bringing her home. But a lot of people are forgetting about this story because the media is not putting any pressure on Joe Biden to bring her home. Do you think this is another example of, if President Trump were in office, this is all we would hear about, is how a black celebrity is in prison in another country that is at war with Ukraine, who has bad feelings towards us right now, is in detention? Do you think Joe Biden's getting a pass on this story?
Yep, Biden's getting a pass on the story because people don't care about it. But I would say this, that if Trump were in office, she would probably be home. I'm just going to be honest with you. She would probably be home. Look at how he's done all the others who were held captive. Look at the rapper. He brought the rapper home. Was it ASAP? Is that the guy he brought home, I think? Yeah, I think it was ASAP, the guy who's dating one of the Kardashians. Brought him home. So if Trump were in office, she would be home, although she does not like Trump, although she has spoken about Trump. As far as I'm concerned, I don't care anything about her, okay? Because she came here to, she was born here in America, and it's because of America that she was allowed to do what she's doing, and she's going to turn her nose up against America. Good luck, chick. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe I'm being cruel, Andrew, but these individuals that don't respect the country, And then when they go out and get in trouble, they want to come crawling with their tails between their legs, wanting us to help them out. It's like, but you didn't like the country. Now you see that America is the best country. Maybe she will learn that. Maybe sitting in that cell, she'll develop an appreciation for being an American. And when she gets back home, she'll wake the heck up and say, oh, guys, come on. We got it good over here. Because over there, uh-uh. Now just imagine, had she been here and got caught with it, she would be still on the streets. So she brought this on herself. She brought this on herself. Maybe next time she'll think about it when she decides to kneel for the national anthem, Andrew.
Yeah, I would agree. And not only was she a kneeler, eventually she just said, I'm not even going to come out of the locker room until the national anthem is done and over with. So she didn't even have the respect to be on the court during the national anthem. She just stayed back in the locker room while the singer would sing the song. You just hope that after she has spent some hard time in a real communist country, maybe she'll come back here with some appreciation when she eventually does come back, which who knows if she will with Biden in office, because this guy can't get anything done. And it just seems like the tension with Putin keeps getting worse by the day.
Absolutely. Maybe she will. Maybe she'll come back and she'll have a better appreciation, like I said, for the country. And she will see that, hey, America is the best place to live, as opposed to I'm going to stay inside because I don't want to hear the national anthem. It's like, what other anthem do you know? Are they making you learn the Russian national anthem? Are you going to come back and sing that? Are you going to stand up for that? These people are so spoiled and they're so unappreciative, Andrew. So like I said, hey, to each, I wish her well. I don't want anything bad to happen to her. But when she comes back here, I hope she has a better appreciation for the freedoms that she's been given, because she won the luck of the draw when she was born in America.
Yeah, that's right. And if it works, I say we send some more entitled athletes over there and pay Russia to give them some jail time and maybe straighten them up for a few months. And
Colin Kaepernick, send him over there.
I would not dislike that, that's for sure. Thank you for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who just celebrated its 6th anniversary. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, or Pandora. Please like and subscribe. We'll see you next time. And remember, stand for something or fall for nothing.